Pathetic. WFMU, you're on the air.
I love you. I miss you. I'm so
sorry.
Oh,
listener David. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie. How nice to hear from you.
I'm signing up today on your thingy right now. I came in late, but I left a message with Ken saying, please tell Bomblin, like, I forgot totally that, you know, like, I'll miss you and stuff.
Aww.
And here you are, like my magic.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice. Thank you, David.
Thank you so much. Are you coming back next week?
Yes, I will be back next week.
Holy moly.
Thank you for not saying anything bad on the air. That's nice. I am filling in for Christy here on Aerial View this week for Sportsy Talk. And next week, I'm not sure what we'll talk about. It might not be sports. I don't know.
You're not sure of your timing yet, but you will be back.
I will be back from 6 to 7 next week. Only, and then any other time that Chris T needs a fill-in, I'll do it. Or any other time anybody else needs a fill-in, I'll see if I can do it. And then we'll see what happens in the fall when the schedule changes back.
Oh, for my foot. You'll be here for winter cabin fever, too. I'm going to put recommendations to Ken right now before it happens.
Okay, thank you, David.
I'll do my darnest to hold on to you. I'm sorry the way I talked to you the last time.
No, you were very nice. You're always nice, David. You've never been bad.
It seemed to me that I was just talking to Bromlin, like, I'll talk to you next week. It didn't dawn on me to some atrocious joke that came up, and I wasn't listening to Bromlin or Jay. But now I know you're back.
Yep.
And I feel fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
I'm
glad you're okay, too. Thanks, David.
I love you.
Oh, well, I love you, too. Thank you.
Take care of yourself, my dear. We'll be talking next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
I got to get tape. Bye-bye, love.
Bye. Listener David. WFMU, you're on the air.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Hi. This is kind of related to the Olympics, but did you hear about the whole Lance Armstrong under fire thing?
Oh, yeah.
Steroid use?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit at the beginning of the show, but go ahead, you know, if you have something to say about it. I mean, I don't know if he's done it or if he didn't do it, you know? I mean.
Yeah, neither do I. And apparently Roger Clemens was just acquitted of
yep.
all that.
Yes, he was. Well, you know what? It's funny. He was not acquitted of using performance-enhancing drugs. He was acquitted of lying to Congress about using performance-enhancing drugs.
Then why didn't they further the trial on whether he actually did or not?
They can't. That wasn't the charges. The charges were charges of perjury. He was found innocent of perjuring himself before Congress. That's what it was. 6 charges of perjury.
Oh, okay.
And that's
Well, I guess lucky him.
I know, right? I know. I think everybody just assumes he did. Because, I mean, you remember how angry he used to get? He'd just get furious and he'd, like, throw things at people, including baseballs at their heads and stuff, you know? It seems like such a roid rage thing, you know?
Yeah, it'd be like punching the water bottle.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think everybody kind of assumes he did, but, you know, he said he didn't. There's no proof that he did, and there's no, you know, he was found innocent of perjury. So, good for Roger Clemens. On to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, got away with it.
Yep. Well, that's what we
did. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
No problem.
Yay. Oh. 201-209-9368. Oh, the other thing about the Olympics. Their atrocious opening ceremony that they're going to have. That's going to be so great. I have to find my stuff about it. Wait, I had something here about it. Oh, and did you know that Justin Bieber was in town? Speaking of atrocious openings. Justin Bieber was in town today signing CDs at J&R on Park Ave. He also has a new perfume out called Bieber's Girl. God, I do not want to smell like Bieber's Girl, I don't think. Well, the atrocious opening ceremony is going to feature rain and farm animals because it's England. So they figured out some way to make it rain, apparently. So even if the weather's nice, they're going to have, like, rain clouds raining on the ceremony. And then they're going to have geese because that's a farm animal. I don't know what other farm animals they're going to have. And that's the ceremony. It's stupid. It's like the stupidest Olympics ever. WFMU, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up some Olympic tasks that I was thinking about recently.
Okay.
Do you remember when that U.S. gymnast actually took second place when they added up the points, but they messed up the first time around? They gave him gold medal.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
they never
yeah.
gave it back.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that one of the Ham brothers?
Yes, it was.
Yep, I thought it was. Yep.
Yeah, so it's funny, because, like, whenever I think of the Olympics, I just think of, like, that, and, like, when the Russians, it was the Soviet Union, and they actually lost the basketball game, but they kept saying things were wrong, and they redid it
yeah,
until they won.
Right. Right.
Like, the last 10 seconds of a play. Like, the Olympics are just full of, like, it's, like, politics in its ugliest form.
It's really true. And speaking of the last 10 seconds, I'm up to that, and I got to get off the air. But thanks
okay,
for calling.
Very good.
That was a good last call. Thank you very much for that. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, on the web, WFMU.org. This has been Aerial View. I'm Bronwyn C., filling in for Chris T. today. I will be back next week filling in for Chris T. again. And that was fun. Thanks for inviting me into your home tonight, and may God bless.
Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we talk about spirituality and nutrition and cancer, and well, we just have fun. Listen to my voice as it travels through the ether, which is that substance that the Three Stooges used to pour on a cloth put over one another's mouth to make them knock out, or was that chloroform? So sit back and enjoy yourself, and we're maybe gonna learn a little something. Life's too hard, Captain Picard. Picard can't fight. Pants too tight. Chicken tonight. Chicken on a mission. Miracle nutrition. I think that sums it up. What this show is about. Hey, friends. I don't judge. I just evaluate you, compare you to others, and then secretly condemn you. No, I don't do that. I don't judge you at all. I'm here to say that I accept all people. I want to love everybody. And that's what I want to spread on these airwaves, is the message that we're all just little children inside. Inside everybody is just a tiny little baby. Well, now, some of you literally, I'm not pregnant. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you have a little baby living inside of you that's gentle little you, and I like to picture it as a tiny little cherub. Now, when I was reading one of these ladies' magazines, these home housekeepings, there's an ad for these little sister Hummel figurines, little porcelain cherubs, and I misread the name of them. And I thought it was precise moments, because I thought there's that precise moment that cherubic little boy has caught that fish, or that's the precise moment that he's taking a nap there by the stream. Oh, it makes my heart melt. But it was actually precious moments. But I think mine was closer to the truth. Yes, there's a little child in all of us, just like we're like a king cake or whatever. Isn't there something you eat where the person who gets a little plastic baby chokes on it, they win? But that is living in us, and that connects us to one another. We are connected by an invisible cord. When we are born, we are connected by an umbilical to our mother. Imagine if that stayed your entire life and you had a gristly rope that connected you to your mother. And then if you were a woman and had children, you'd had another rope that connected you to your children. If there was four generations, you'd all be walking down the road like an umbilical chain gang. Would that be convenient? I don't think so. That's why we need to separate. At birth, they cut that umbilical cord. If you've cut one, it's like, have you ever cut up a chicken with kitchen shears? It cuts easier. Well, an umbilical cord's... Oh, it's like cutting through pure gristle rope. You ought to sell that, man. That's good stuff. It's better than bungee. I'd like to tie up. I won't get some of that umbilical rope, but I'm down to a store because I need to bundle up some stuff to take to the curb. But we cut it, and then the little baby has a little umbilical stump on it. And we got to take it home, and we have to actually keep that clean and wipe it with alcohol until it dries up into a little scab. And then falls away. Oh, it's disgusting. A friend who had a baby had kept that umbilical stump scab. I don't know why you do it, like people keep children's teeth. He kept the umbilical stump scab, and he put it in one of them small 35-millimeter film canisters they don't have anymore, and he put it in there, and he said he put it in a drawer, and then he found it like 4 years later, and he thought, hey, there's a marijuana roach in there. And he opened it up and dumped it in his hand. And I don't know if he vomited or what happened after that. But, bless us. But it is that we have so much fleshy rope in our lives as people. These bodies, they're so delicate, aren't they? 32 Feet of Danger. That's the title of a turn-of-a-century pamphlet I have about the human intestine. 32 Feet of Danger. Why is it called that? Because I think if you cut open your belly and you pulled out your intestine and you pulled them end to end, it would be 32 feet. Now, where the danger comes from, I'm not sure, except that it's very dangerous to rip your belly open, pull out all your intestines, and lay them end to end. Other than that, I don't know. But we need to take care of ourselves, because it's hard to be happy if you have physical pain. And today I want to talk about sickness. I want to share with you some incidents in my life where I've had some health scares or some sickness, and maybe give you some tips about how to avoid it yourself. Oh, I want to reach out and touch you. Oh, it's not good enough for the Facebook. I want your actual face. I crave human contact, and I want to reach my hand out and put it on your face and say, hey, you're another human. And then you look at me and you say, hey, take your hand off my face. Oh, I'm sorry. And you say, and then you say, I tell you why. First of all, it's you're violating my space. And I don't know whether you're going to grab for my eyes, whether you're a psychopath or what. And secondly, your hand has a sweaty odor of garlic. Oh, that's just my garlic hand lotion that I got at the food co-op. A lot of things down there I noticed at the food co-op lotion and soap area. There's a lot of, a lot of them people like to rub food on their bodies because there's food in everything. Lemon in the hand lotion, cucumber and all the parsley, rosemary, thyme, Emily, wherever you may find. No, that's not how I'm listing Simon and Garfunkel songs, but they got all kinds of oatmeal soap, Lucky Charm soap, all foods in there. And I guess you can find it now that a lot of things that they thought were food just good for eating are also good for other things. And they've thought that a long time. If you ever get sprayed by a skunk, they'd say you take a tomato bath, bath in tomato juice. They say if you ever become a Greek monarch of an Egyptian kingdom, bathe in milk. There's a Cleopatra just to get milk. Oh, it's horrible. I don't even take baths for that reason because you become, when you get, when you have hot water and you add anything, that's called an infusion. You make a tea. So if you have a lot of hot water and you add a dirty, naked, hairy man, you can see what kind of tea you make. You make some sort of an awful filth tea. And I don't want to, that's not something I want to just lay in this polluted water. I don't like it. But I don't like soaking in water anyway because I have a fear of parasites. And I know it's unnatural, but there's all sorts of things you think, you read about people going in there, swimming in the river and having this little parasitic fish that'll swim up into your urethra. And then there's all sorts of, there's, for every hole in your body, something could get in it. You know what I'm saying? There's earwicks could get in your ear and burrow into your brain, and they have brain parasites. Now, something interesting. They found out that a lot of figures in history thought were mythological monsters and other figures in history were simply human beings suffering from brain parasites, like Santa Claus. Or other people, like they really, you know, weren't just people that dressed in red and couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep because of the brain parasites up all the time, giving away things. And other monsters like that. The vampire myth. People would open, after someone been dead a while, open their coffin. They look inside. I hear,
close your door, it's cold.
Sorry, it's all right. And it wasn't real. And they think, that's alive. But it wasn't really. It's just some Romanian jokester there. The guy whose descendants wrote the Numa Numa song, no doubt. But there's a scientific basis for a lot of the things that we think. Hey, does the Bible, how does that jive with science, Hardy? Can they coexist? Hey, God made this wonderful world, didn't he? So all the things in it, if you think you can understand it, you're probably underestimating God, aren't you? Because it's complicated. There's no Chilton guide for it. I've tried, I could fix my own Chevy Nova, but I don't know how to fix a tree. I'll tell you what, and I don't know how to fix a human body. We are frail, suffer from so many maladies, addictions. Oh, addictions. Hey, smokers, I'm so sorry for you. I understand you. I don't just put you down because I know you get hooked on that tobacco. And now smoking has become socially unacceptable because you really are messing with other people's health. And so they don't allow smokers in buildings anymore. Then they don't allow smokers outside of buildings. Then they have to go out on the sidewalk to smoke. It's terrible because the people are addicted. Now, there's a hospital near here, and I see people out in hospital gowns with their bare rear ends out there, having to smoke with an IV, toting around one of them things. And I'm not exaggerating. They have to go that far out to smoke. Now, I know I don't smoke cigarettes, but I know what that's like because I also have been isolated because of something I do. I peanut. And we are becoming increasingly a public health threat, those of us who peanut. I peanut in butter form, also free peanut. I'll do them. But this can kill others. And a lot of times you have a child say, don't send a peanut butter sandwich to school with him because the other children will be killed by it. And they throw clothes out, they go in anaphylactic shock, for real. So we have to be careful. I have a friend who is so allergic to peanuts that he can't even be around people who have very tiny heads. And it is that sometimes people are that sensitive. The human body, we don't even know really what goes on in it. But we do. We really do, because we can take pictures and look inside of it. Have you ever had an MRI? You ought to have one whether you need one or not. They don't really give them out like that, though. I guess they're expensive. But they shove you into a tube, and then it's the same sound. I don't know what they call it, grindcore or something, but it's a loud kind of machine sound, deafening, and they take a magnet picture of your head. And they pull this joke on everybody. I said, did you find anything? And they said, yeah, it's a tumor on your pineal gland. So that wasn't really great. It turned out to be a mistake. I'll tell you about that later. That happened to me in France when I was suffering from meningitis. And I had the chance to be in a French hospital. I don't know if a lot of you had that opportunity. But it's an experience. It was wonderful. I liked it a lot because it was absolutely disorienting and surreal. I did not like having meningitis, which is like a really bad headache on top of another one. And then they gave me, I also had to have a spinal tap, which I had never had before. And that was interesting. But they did give me a lot of morphine for my headache. And they shot me full of morphine. And then they wheeled me to have the spinal tap. And they said, are you nervous? And I said, I don't speak French. And so they gave me Valium. And it was from then on, it's pretty much a party. What happened at that point, I don't remember, except that I melted into the funny papers, and I became two-dimensional Barney Google, and did a little dance. And then I saw a gypsy who was microcephalic, except that part was real, because I lived in a gypsy neighborhood, and it was a neurological hospital. Friends, I know that we have shared similar experiences like that. That's why I can speak to you with such knowledge, because we've been through, we are so alike. And that is why I feel we are all one, aren't we? And we're going through this life just like one another. We're on a tour boat going down a river, beautiful river. Like in Wakulla Springs in North Florida, we're going down a river on one of them old tour boats. And the fellow says, you look over there, you see an alligator eating a deer. And, oh, no, that's not a deer. That was a well-meaning hippie who swam outside of the normal parameters where the gate is because he wanted to swim with his alligator soul brothers. And he was eating, this really happened. And don't go swimming with the alligators because they see you and it's just too tempting to them, that beautiful pink flesh. And they see you and they think, oh, at least I have to drown you. Pull you under and go into a death spin. But it's that kind of tour. There's beauty and there's death through life, isn't there? You look to your left and you see Anhinga. You look to your right and you see the brutal struggle for life. And that's it, isn't it? And it's balancing that and learning to understand the beauty in that and live together on this tour boat that is life.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to Rainbow Springs. Rainbow Springs, one of Florida's most beautiful and scenic attractions. Rainbow Springs is a beauty created beneath these waters, made only by the hands of God. Now look through your left side porthole, for as your eyes can see, watch that dreamy, sunlit landscape. Look like mountains, look like valleys, look like green pastures, and the fish look like birds wading in the air, and the turtle look like cattle roving in the forest. When you look up to the top surface of the water, it looks like the skies above. Now the growing of the vegetation, they look like the growing of the trees. Sandbar looked like a hillside after a snowstorm, and Rainbow Spring looks entire like a world of its own. All right, now, folks, in this river, we got 37 variety of fish, got 47 variety of vegetation. Really more than any one man could give you by name. But here's some of the vegetation that you'll see in the Rainbow River. We got foxtail fern, got mermaid hair, got cabbage grass, got sawgrass, got single tander, got double tander, got water shamrock, got rose fern, got water rose, got sagittarius, got watercress, got so many variety of vegetation that I couldn't give them all to you by name. Now there's over 40 variety of fish in the Rainbow River, so here's some of the fish we'll give you by name that you will see on your boat trip in Rainbow River. We got large mouth bear, got a big mouth black bear, got a calico bear, got small mouth bear, got a bluegill, we got shell cracker, got a sand sucker, got china, we got a leopard gar, got a mud fish, got a jackfish, pike fish, needle fish, got sun perch, got a red tail perch, got a warm mouth perch, we got speckled perch, got a blue shad, got silver shad, got German carp, got a copperhead brim, got a mud cat, channel cat, speckled cat, red breast, red eye, and a black gar, got an alligator gar, got a roach, got a golden carp. Then big Johnny Lewis, that big 20-pound bear. Now Johnny Lewis, the fish money couldn't buy. The men can't land him and the women don't try. Now folks, just keep your seat and look through the glass. Enjoy the beauty just as you pass. Most amazing sight you've ever seen was the day that you bowed this submarine. And the day you rolled off down the stream, she come before you just like a dream. But folks, it's not a dream. You're looking at Rainbow Spring with a natural eye. So I'll say goodbye, call back, see us again. You're welcome at all time at the famous Rainbow Spring.
Oh, quit naming fauna. Join me now on a tour, my friends, and come with me. We are going to go on a tour of the human digestive system, and as we now enter the mouth, please look to your right, look to your left, and you will see teeth. Teeth are involved in the first stage of digesting, masticating the food into a salivary bolus that can be easily manipulated by the tongue, shoved down the throat where it can begin its second digesting process. Walk with me this way, watch your head on the uvula. Join me now into the trachea. Please look to your right. You will see a hole, and inserted into that hole is the shaft of a ballpoint pen that has been put there by Gage and DeSoto as a way of getting air to the person who has ingested a pop-top tab that is now lodged in their... I don't know all the medical terms, but now we join into the stomach where we plunge to our death. Friends ask me all the time, how do you talk about digestion? You talk about the human body as well as spirituality. Why is that? I tell you why. Because they're linked. Like I said, if something's hurting you, it's hard to be happy. So life breaks down our bodies enough. We don't want to contribute to that pain. So I try to give you tips of how to stay a little bit more healthy, and then how to stay a little bit more mentally healthy. Be a little happier so you can help others. And that's the purpose of life to me, I think, is reaching out there and helping others and seeing what they need. And so people say to me, you know, I want your advice then on health. What do you think of coffee enemas? Do you recommend coffee enemas? And well, I say to them, well, no. But how about a chai enema or something? No, don't put anything in that end. That's no good. Everything's supposed to go through your stomach first. Your stomach is supposed to be where what weeds out the bad eggs. You don't want to put it through the back door first. That's if you're like hiring somebody in the back shop on the loading dock without having them go through personnel first. And if you're like me, you have been projectile vomited out of a personnel office many a time. So you know that process is important. So no coffee enemas. I hope there's no future where there's a place called Starbucks or something and people go, what kind of coffee enema you want? Cappuccino? You want your foam dry? No, it's going in my rear and all, so it doesn't really matter. In fact, but I would like the instant cappuccino with a little bit of mint in it because it reminds me of my trips to Europe. A lot of the advertisers play on your sentiments like that. Remember the time you were a kid and liked this thing? Yes. Well, you're really going to like this other thing. They're going to soon have Quisp cereal now in some stores. This cereal from my childhood. They now have again because people get nostalgic. Hey, I want to be 8 years old again. So they get this. Quit, but they're adults. So I know I'm 50, but I got to get the Quisp cereal. Pretty soon, Quisp is going to sell Lexus. There's going to be an ad with Quisp. And buy this car! Like that. And is that going to work on people? Bless you. Bless you. It's because we're longing for the simplicity when we're little children. Oh, I know what you're going through, my friend. The human body is so frail and time is so short that there's no reason not to get a bunch of Warner Brothers tattoos or the tattoo of a Chinese character that you think means strength but really is the surname Ma. I took Chinese lessons because I wanted to expand my mind. And it was, I didn't do real well. I really liked, and I liked my instructor, B. Lasher. She was great. I would say, B. Lasher, ni hao. And I got that far. Then she would often say to me, and this is what we always broke down. She would say, ni mang ma. All right? Now, I always thought she was saying, your mama. And I would bristle a little and say in English, what about my mother? But really what she's saying is, are you busy? It's just one of them conversation things out of the book. And I still, it never, oh, bless you. But that's where my confusion with the word ma, too, came from. Because it's at the ma, that's at the end of a word for a question. Ma, I mean, one of them's horse. You know, one of them's a surname. One of them is my leg feels, so ma. Ma, ma, ma. Say, I can't hear that. And then, mama, I couldn't figure any of that out. So, bless your heart. It was wonderful studying it. Look at that. Language is interesting to me. It looks cool. I love those. I want them on a skateboard or something. But I don't understand your language. It looks like the Matrix code to me. And I tried, though. I made an effort. I'm going to try again. I'm not going to give up. I don't like to tell myself I can't do things. I have to go out there and try things. I like to historical reenact. Do you do that? I have restore. It can be expensive, so I've had to tailor my historical reenacting to my budget. And so I do some 1990s reenacting because I can go right down to the Salvation Army and get some clothes. That's cheaper. I do some war reenacting. My friends and I do the current war in Afghanistan, but just a couple weeks ago. Isn't that repulsive? Why is it any less disturbing that people reenact other wars too? I mean, I think it teaches us something, but it doesn't teach me often that war is hell. All the Civil War reenacting I've seen is, why didn't people that fat wearing wool in the South in the summer die? That's all. It doesn't occur to me anything else. And also the ones I've seen, I saw five guys on Kennesaw Mountain just saying, this comprises a platoon. Oh man, that's not, it's just five of you. You're all old and you're all dressed in wool and everybody wants to be the colonel, who's also a chaplain, gets a sword. Bless you, though. I don't deny anybody that. Like I say, I want a historical reenact when I go to that New England, go to Sturbridge Village, where they're recreating a whole village like a like settler, like pilgrim people. And women come out, this is how you churn the butter. And we get up in the morning at 3 a.m. and we churn butter for 10 hours. And then I go over and I milk the calf for 10 hours. And then I milk the goats for 10 hours, but I don't milk the goats into a bucket. I milk it right into the sand, and then I take the sandy soil and with mixed with the milk and put it in my mouth, and then using my tongue, I spit the milk into little vials. It's that tedious. And then they worked like 90-hour days, people back then. And like I said, they dressed heavily in wool, anything they could do to smother themselves and not breathe, because it's part of the religion. So we don't believe in breath. And then they would paint their skin silver like Buddy Ibsen, suffocate. Bless you, friends. If you're like me, you go to that Sturbridge Village and say, hey, what we need is a singing group to get together, the Sturbridge Village people. And I won't be Blacksmithy, dressed in just nothing but a leather apron. Maybe not that. But there's nothing like getting together and being together, doing things with other people. Maybe not holding hands or anything. I don't like to hug as much as I like to. Wave is my favorite. Shaking hands is not too bad. That's a little bit of a compromise for me, but I'm really more of a waver, because you don't know what's going on in other people's minds. Some people got dark secrets.
Happy. A moonshiner ever since that I've been born. So I've drunk drunk up all of my money and stealed up all of my corn. So I'll go up some dark hollow and put up my moonshine still. Say, I'll make you 1 gallon for a $5 bill. So I'll go up some dark hollow and get you some booze. See if the revenues don't get me no money, will I lose? Come on, all you moonshiners, and stand all in a row. Gee, look so sad and lonesome, you lonesome, yes, I know. God bless them pretty women, I wish they all were mine. They breath smell so sweetly like good old moonshine.
A white dog. That's what it is when it comes out before it's been put in a barrel and turned into some proper liquor like bourbon. Comes out white dog. Makes your teeth hurt. Tastes like metal. Oh, friends, it's wonderful to be with you. And I want to tell you something about light. Sometimes we get confused in life and make the wrong decisions because we are looking back instead of ahead. I'm reminded of the story of Squire Trelawney, who was using a telescope to observe Earth. He observed that Earthlings wore knickers and powdered wigs and played harpsichords so that when Captain Kirk visited him from Earth, he would feel at home in this earthly surrounding. But it turns out that Squire Trelawney was getting light through his telescope that was old. You see, because when I look at that distant star, by the time the light gets to me, it's old light. You see what I'm saying? So if I were to be on another planet, I might look at a telescope and look at Earth and say, and the only thing I see, I'm thinking, how am I going to dress for my Earth friends? And all I see is a 1970s Levi's ad. I think, oh, so everybody is tripping, wearing red and white striped pants, flying through the air. And the biggest celebrity in the world is Ken Nordine. No, he's not. He could have been, but he's not. I know he's not. Hey, he's a good dude. Remember that artist, Ken Nordine? He's an interesting fella. There's a look at those doors. They're jazz. One is red. I like that. I like things that make me think in my mind. Are you saying you think in some other part of your body, Hardy? Yes, I do. And let me tell you about my health scare. A while back, I got a pain in one of my testicles. I know you're giggling, but gentlemen, you know how it is. There's testicular cancer, and some of my friends have had it. So I was really concerned. I said, well, my testicles really, really hurting. Now, I know I'm used to self-examining, just like women are supposed to self-examine for breasts. Gentlemen are supposed to self-examine their testicles. Now, I had been doing this religiously for years. I didn't know what it was called, but it's in the South. It's very hot and sticky. But now I was getting concerned. What if I do have cancer? And I know you've gone through this. You get a pain. You think, I think I'm dying of cancer. And all these terrible things go through your head. And you think, I should go to the doctor. And then think, well, no, the doctor will just say, yes, you do have cancer, and that'll make it worse. What do I do then? So you avoid it. So I didn't want to do that. So I got my courage up, and I went to the doctor, and I said, Doctor, I have pain in my testicle. So the first thing he did is examined it, and he said, that's all right. And then he said, I'm going to have to check up in you. And this had never happened to me before. So I got into the, put you into the reclining Buddha pose. I'm very comfortable like that, pantless. And I'll let you, I won't tell you any details. I will let you use your imagination as to how he put his finger in my anus. But everything was all right. And it turned out that I didn't have testicular cancer. What I was suffering from was reference pain. Reference pain. And that happened to me because of my back. I have a sore, bad back. And it was my what do you call sciatica. And he said, what happens is the pain actually starts in your back, but it runs down a nerve through your back, down through your sclera, brothers, down the inside of your leg to your ankle. And I said, yes, that is where I feel the pain. And he said, yes, there is nothing wrong with you physically. You are merely severely mentally ill. And I said, oh, that is good to know, doctor. That I can deal with. But you know, it's when you get physically sick, and I've lost loved ones like that. So I want, if you can keep yourself healthy by not smoking or eating right, I want you to do that. And a lot of the foods that are good for you, Jack LaLanne always said, if it tastes good, don't eat it. I wouldn't go that far, because some things. Now, what I'm doing an experiment right now with Little Debbie Swiss Rolls. And I am eating as many as I can. I'm gorging myself because I think it's the same as with snake venom. There was a fella in South Florida, he handled snakes for a museum, and has been bitten so many times it didn't affect him. He'd milk these snakes of the venom to make anti-venom. I'm making anti-Swiss roll. So I'm eating as many as I can so that they'll get me, and I'll build up a tolerance. You see what I'm saying? So I'm taking up Swiss rolls. I'm snack cake handling. You see what I'm saying? As a test of faith. And hopefully I will either develop an immunity or an aversion. And both would be fine. Because what you put into your body, then you start to absorb it. And it starts to come out of your pores like cumin. And then if you happen to be on a subway, that's the subway cumin effect that you've heard so much about. And you don't really want to. You don't want to do that to your fellow man. Oh, we are all capable of living together and being different faiths. We all want to be in a tribe or club and be with those of us who are like one another. Whatever tribe we're in, it's okay, and you can combine things. I don't mind if you combine your Christmas and Hanukkah. I don't mind if you have Juggalo Purim. It's not my, it's whatever it takes to move you to see yourself and one another, that's good enough for old Hardy White.
I wonder if you ever think of me, or if time has blotted out your memory. As I listen to that breeze whisper gently through the trees, I'll always cherish what you meant to me. High on the mountain, the wind blowing free, thinking about the days that used to be. High on the mountain, standing all alone, wondering where the years of my life had flown.
Oh, I wonder where the years of my life have flown, but they won't tell me because of some kind of security concerns or something, but it seems to me it was only yesterday when I was 10 years old and I got a case-hardened steel nut stuck on my ring finger. I was mucking around with it. I was watching TV or something, and I was just kind of messing with it, and then it didn't come off one time. So I went to my grandfather, who then tried to cut it off. The nut, not the finger. Although I think he was really thinking about the finger, because it bothered him. He didn't like to be disturbed. But I had to go to the hospital for that. I don't know if anything embarrassing has ever happened to you like that, where you've either gotten stuck, something stuck on you or in you. That happens to people, too. I read recently, oh, this happens all the time, and it's so sad. People get something, speaking of your colon, will get something stuck up inside of them. Do you follow me? I don't want to get too specific. But then they'll go, and it could be, I saw a medical journal, a friend who showed me this article, and it's things like light bulbs and plastic lemon-shaped juice containers and plantains and things. Oh, and Impulse body spray back when they have, I'm sure it's now Axe is the new. But so it's embarrassing. And it's a medical emergency, and you go to the hospital. I read recently an article, it was a priest or something it happened to, and the poor dear, and he told him, he goes, well, here's how it's happened. I was hanging drapes in the nude, and I fell upon it, and then I fell upon it in such a way that it came up in me. And I just want to, don't you just want to hug him, say, oh, bless your heart. You don't have to lie. It's all right. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to help here to help you. I'm going to tell all my friends over drinks later. But I'm going to love you right now and say, hey, you're just a human being. Oh, you're a lonely one, no doubt. And so what you need is to be, we got to be a little more gentle with people. As if you don't have and you say, well, I would never do something like that, Hardy, so I don't have any compassion for someone who does. Oh, I bet something creepy's going to happen to you. Something creepy's going to happen to you. Then you're going to have to explain why your tongue is stuck to that. See, but you think it can't. Bless you. That's why you have to be a little bit understanding of other people. Because don't think it can't happen to you. Because often you would be mistaken. Perhaps because you're hurting your body with some kind of alcohol or drugs or whatever you're putting into it. Alcohol. I was with some friends the other day. This fella told me, hey, my uncle taught me to drink when I was 9. Wow. Apparently, you got to give him whiskey instructions. Like, you're a man now. You got to learn how to drink whiskey. That's something. That's young. I thought that's crazy. Now, I drink, but I'm largely self-taught. So it's been different to me, but now young, I could see that a little bit, because young people, when they drink, they do it all wrong. So, oh, we're going to put Sterno in Jell-O. What's that? Then they get happy for about 5 minutes, vomit, and pass out. That's not how you do it. That skips the best part of being drunk. The part I love the best, when I'm feeling a little tipsy. And that's that few hours that I get to endlessly ramble and describe the retail business that I dream of having. Just Blouses. So I could go on about that. Just Blouses. A little shop. It's just blouses. Blouses I picked out. Or just things. It could be anything, really. Just fun little things. It's really just a place for my friends to gather. People come sit there, have a cup of coffee, sell fun stuff on my jewelry out of Shrink-a-Dink. and just we'll chat and we'll bring them. That never works out, though. Bless you. What it says is, oh, people want community and want to be together. And what they forget is their friends are at their oppressive jobs in a cubicle, and they can't come sit for hours like a Cuban man playing dominoes. He's elderly. That's what you forget when you see these cafe scenes in Europe. You go, oh, look at those people out there doing nothing. And then you look closely who they are. Well, they've got, how they got hours to sit there? They're poets. I'm making the finger marks. Oh, I'm so glad that we're here. I don't say that lightly. I really am. That people can ever connect and recognize the humanity in one another is important. Because sometimes it's hard to recognize the humanity in one another because they are really not humans, but they're alien children. They're precocious little children that have turned themselves into humans. I think that's right, but that might not be. I thought all tyrants throughout history are really aliens, petulant alien children, and that we need like a Captain Kirk to say, hey, quit messing with people and go to your home planet. And then they would go home. The Emperor Justinian would get in his spaceship, which is really what the Haggadah, what was it, Haggadah Sophia. That's what it is, big spaceship. I have so many friends, because I call all men my friends. Oh, and I say men, I mean women. And when I say women, I mean men. All people, all children, all little doggies. You look in their eyes, that's a living being. Is it any less of a being? When people have a brain, some kind of brain damage or something, are they less of a person? My mother works with Alzheimer's folks. A lot of them is like, oh, where's my bear that I just killed? So I'm sorry, my son-in-law's coming for me. Are they less of a person? My son-in-law's coming with a bear. All right. Get me out of here, there's bears. Very difficult. And a lot of times people, former professors and everything, are they less of a person? Oh, look in your heart. And what do you see? It's dark in there, doesn't it? Now you got blood in your eye. Bless, I'm going to wipe it out for you. But not with a handy wipe because I got alcohol in it. I forgot that. You ever put hand sanitizer on your face? Don't do it. Don't do it. It's like alcohol napalm or something. Woo, boy, woke me up. It's stingy. It's like what I still had when I was a little kid. Teenager had acne. And all sorts of, so already you got, your face is red and sore with pustular carbuncles, right? Then you have, they say, wash it with an astringent. So then you have to take like alcohol or something and wipe it on your open wounds. And then there was something called Pernox or something, which was like sand soap. And you use that and you basically rub sandpaper all on your face. And then you put some kind of desiccating cream on. And if you're really vain, you get the one that has tinted like skin so that you look like you have pancake makeup all over like an elderly woman. Oh, teenagers, I love you. Come on, hug me. Not literally. Again, a lot of things I say are just figurative because, ooh, I don't really know you. But because you're a human being, I think I know you because aren't we all a lot alike? Don't we all share a lot of the same experiences?
This song is called Shove It Over, and it's a Latin rhythm pretty generally distributed all over Florida. It was sung to me by Charlie Jones on a railroad construction camp near Lakeland, Florida.
How long ago?
That I gathered that in 1933.
When I get in Illinois, I'm going to spread the news about the Florida boys. Shove it over. Hey, 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 can't you line it? Oh, shack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a. Can't you move it? Hey, hey, can't you try? Eat him up, whiskers, or he won't shave. Eat him up, body lice, he won't bathe. Shove it over. Hey, hey, oh, can't you lie in there? Oh, shack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack. Can't you move it? Hey, 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 can't you try? Oh,
the rooster chew tobacco, the hen dip a snuff. The biddy can't do it, but he struts his stuff. Shove it over. Hey, 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 oh, can't you line it? Oh, shack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a. Ah, can't you move it? Hey, 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 oh, can't you try? Yeah, I'm a woman walking across the field. A mouth exhausting like an automobile. Shove it over. Hey, 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 you can't you line it? Oh, shack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a. Can't you move it? Hey, hey, can't you try? The captain got a pistol, he tried to play bad. But I'm gonna take it if it make me mad. Shove it over. Hey, hey, oh, can't you line it? Ah, shack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a. Ah, can't you move it? Hey, 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 oh, can't you try?
Oh, the human body can produce such beautiful sounds, and at the same time, such ugly gurgling and things like that. Oh, what is your favorite organ? Do you have a favorite organ? I've got two favorite organs. One is the little portable kind that they used to sell at the mall, and a fella would sit there and demonstrate that. Oh, that I miss that from my childhood. He'd press that cha-cha button, and then he would play Somewhere My Love, the theme from Dr. Zhivago, to a cha-cha. And I'd be eating my summer sausage that I got from Mr. Dunkelrunker's next door. Those are the days. My second favorite organ is the human brain. Now, the ancient Egyptians did not believe that the human brain was worth anything. And when they would embalm their mummies, they would simply take the heart and all the other organs and put them in special jars. But the brain, they would simply stick a rug hook up the nose, mush it around, and then scrape it out. And pull it out and discard it because they thought it was just filling for the head. Isn't that something? Now, I got to admit, I've put a rug hook partially up my nose because I've rug hooked. I've also needlepointed. You say, you've needlepointed? What kind of sissy are you? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I don't feel bad. I don't feel like less of a man for needlepoint. In 1977, I made a beautiful needlepoint, large needlepoint, large hole, of a red, white, and blue peace symbol. And the reason that my masculinity was not threatened was because of men like Rosie Grigger, who stood up for needlepointing. He said, hey, I'm a big, tough football player who's just recently cut an album, and I needlepoint. And years later, he stood up for O.J. Said, I do two things. I'm going to tell you, I'm not afraid to tell you that I needlepoint, but I am afraid to tell you what O.J. told me. I will not. So, man, do they make men like him anymore? All my old heroes. A lot of them, granted, I got from TV. But a lot of my old heroes are gone. Like Mrs. Miller, who was a frequent guest in the audience of Merv Griffin. She'd be there all the time watching that. She was never a star, but she'd be in that audience watching that show. I admire that. So, hey, Mrs. Miller, you're okay with me. We all need one another. Merv needs Mrs. Miller, and Mrs. Miller needs Merv, and the Merv inside of you needs Toadie Fields. Not literally. Do you see where I'm coming from? Do you? Could you help me get back? Because I don't know. I know I got a nephew who's looking for me. I know those days are coming for me at some point. I'm not going to be as in touch with the world. I know. Here's some last words. I'd just like to tell you some last words of some relatives of mine to tell you what I look forward to. One is my grandfather, who I know it was coming out of surgery, and he said, that's an ugly jacket, Del. See, that's why I'm thinking. You don't always aren't able. Alfred Jerry, the great playwright who brought us Ubuwah, his final words were, there is something that would be nice, a toothpick. Ah, not so profound, is it? Because something in his tooth was bothering him. That's who we really are, and that's why we have to be there for one another and say, hey, Alfred Jerry, I know that you
you know, starved yourself and really did nothing but just huff. And that's probably why you died. But still, you started as a little child. And I won't be able to heal you. Well, it's too late. God bless you. But that's what we are. We are trapped in our bodies largely, aren't we? And so we want to be there for each other to open it up. Well, not really open it up. I don't want to open you up, look inside. I could go inside. If I could go inside you and see figuratively how you work, though, that would help me understand. That's why we read things. That's why we have Bible studies. Say the Bible, all these terrible things going on in it. Yes, I believe that the Bible, at least the Hebrew Bible, is a description of people screwing up in a profound way so that you can see consequences. And so that you will not go murder all the rapists of your sister who have recently just circumcised themselves. Oh, what have you done to me, said their father Jacob. We'll have some Bible stories later for you. I want to do that. Hey, nothing is off. I embrace everything. I look everywhere for wisdom, and I like to share people's traditions with myself and misunderstand them for them. And I think they appreciate that. Say, hey, if you go to any country and you start speaking their language, if they speak English, they'll wave their hands and go, stop hurting my language. I'll speak English. Stop, stop, stop. You know, thank you. All you had to do is really just make that effort to ruin their language. And they'll say, I recognize that you're an idiot. And so I speak your language really, really, really well. And then they speak it to you. And you go, oh, thank you. That makes me feel better. What I was going to ask is, why is the bathroom down the hall and not in my room? And then I needed to say that in English. Because I know, first of all, French-wise, I know it's the proper word for shower. But in my language, it's something different. So if you could just give me a different word for it, that would be awesome. I love learning other people's cultures and eating other people's food. But there are some Indian candies that look like they have tinfoil on them and are green. And I don't quite understand the flavor, but I love the people here. And I wish that I could have a bendy. And I wish it was really secretly a small SpongeBob. Look carefully, life is interesting, and I lend you my heart. Thank you. I'm not done, but I thank you anyway. I thank you just for making it this. That was to weed out anybody who's not a true friend. Now you're gone. A friend of mine would always have special records to play at the end of the party. Good outcome. This is going, how about those later Yoko albums or something? Play one of them. And that'll go over good. To put on two virgins. And I think that'll do it for him. The party's over. There's always one fella, though, who's differently amygdalid. You gotta say, Bennett, party's over. Oh, okay. No, go. Okay. It's cool. You just have to be, because everybody's brain. Some people are not neurotypical. And that doesn't mean they're not awesome. It just means you have to tell them, let's stop talking about your rock collection now, and we'll start talking about something I'm interested in. And you go, okay, that's all. Just have to be a little understanding and think for a minute. Maybe that person's not smiling because something's wrong. Maybe they're not smiling because one of those parasites that I'm afraid of is in them and they're frightened. They just learned today that there's a tiny fish living in a vein in their thigh. Now, how are they going to smile at it? I've done that at the store. I've had a clerk say to me, smile at that. Can't be that bad. I just came from the neonatal intensive care unit. So, yeah, it was kind of a downer. I mean, I don't say that to them. I smile. I say, you're right. Because bless them. I don't want to hurt them. You spread badness, and the badness will come back at you eventually. If you're any gorilla knows, you poo in your nest. That's nest poo. That stays there. That's where you sleep. So just think ahead a few moves. No nest pooing.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with Mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with our friends at the old country church. Precious years of memory, oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, with his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church. Precious years of memory, oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Oh, I'm such a fool for my old country shul, where the rabbi will lean partial bow. Oh, I tell you, we all come from different traditions, and it's a wonderful thing. This world is made up of people who have different beliefs and see things differently. Sometimes I see two of everything. That's because I get sleepy and cross-eyed. I had a friend that always looked like he's looking over my left shoulder because just one eye was a little off, and I'd have to just adjust myself. So I realized, all right, it's like a scope at the country fair. You say, this sight is off on this rifle, so I don't think I'm going to hit that duck. I'm not going to win that bear. Series of events happen. But if I would adjust myself just a little bit to the situation and realize that that sight may be a little bent and that the guy who's running the booth is the same guy who they were marching him off for having that meth house on Oakland Avenue. He is that guy. I remember him. And then for a while after that, I'd see him walking up and down and up and down really fast. And if he'd ask for a cigarette, and if you wouldn't have one, he'd curse you out. You see what I'm saying? I want to bless you. And the way I bless you is that first up, I put my hands out like this. I have them up in the air. You're going to have to trust it's radio. You're going to have to trust me that I am doing it. I put them out and say, hey, I don't know you, but I wish you well. I wish you all a great week. And I wish you happiness. And I wish you to be nourished on miracles. And that's what Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White is all about. Bless you, friends. Goodbye.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and WFMU.org. Please stay tuned now for MAC and the Antique Phonograph Music Program.
Hello, everybody. Hey there, and welcome to another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Folks, it's me, your host, Mac, back in the studio. Me and my Victrola playing you another pile of old shellac 78s. That's right, they're shellac because any new 78 is now made of some kind of vinylite material. Not real refuse from insects. Cast off material from organic animals. Yeah, that's what these records are made of. And that's what they smell like as the needle, as the steel needle is dragging through the groove. Yes. So we heard first there on the Victor label from the great White Way Orchestra, a tune called Baby Blue Eyes from 1922. All right, continuing now with some singers and songs. Here on the Perfect label from 1926 is Miss Lee Morse and her Bluegrass Boys with the tune you may know, made kind of famous by Miss Shirley Temple, but covered by lots of folks. The tune Animal Crackers.
Everybody has something missed, and so have I. Something I long for. I'm not a strong boy. It's my only dissipation. I won't deny. You would never guess what brings me happiness. Say, I'm just wild about animal crackers, animal crackers. I can't live without animal crackers, animal crackers. There's animal tigers haunt me all day. And whenever I am in a swell cafe, say, all I order is animal crackers, animal crackers. Firecrackers won't do. Goodness gracious, I'm no chump. I've just been off of Campbell's Hump. Oh, animal crackers, I love you. Hey, I'm just wild about animal crackers, animal crackers. I can't leave without animal crackers, animal crackers. How I love to eat them in bed. And I know that when my foe and I get with you, they've all nothing but animal crackers, animal crackers. Oh, how we'll feel and chew. So the crackers are good stuff, but goodness, they're not wild enough. Oh, animal crackers, I love you. Daniel in the lion's den. Oh, animal crackers, I love you.